I wonder if we might just add a brief impression in light of the thoughts that have been before us in the offerings, and then tonight again reminding us of the purpose and objective of what the offerings set before us. I would just like to pull out an expression which would connect us back with the meal offering in the second book of Kings. The second Kings chapter 4. Just the expression in verse 41. The man of God, Elisha, says, "Then bring meal." And he cast it into the pot and said, "Pour out for the people that they may eat." And there was no harm in the pot. There came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and fresh ears of corn in his sack. And he said, "Give to the people that they may eat." And his attendant said, "How shall I set this before 100 men?" He said, "Give the people that they may eat. For thus saith Jehovah, they shall eat and shall have to spare." And he set it before them, and they ate and left thereof according to the word of Jehovah. The particular setting here is Elisha the prophet. We need the prophetic ministry in the present day in which we find ourselves. The prophetic ministry addresses conditions so that there is suitability to Christ among the people of God. The prophetic ministry is ministry that is very essential for the moment. It brings Christ before us. Brother Nick talked about having an object. The prophetic ministry sets an object before us, which then adjusts us in terms of our abnormal conditions. And there was an abnormal condition here. There was famine. The prophet had just come from Gilgal. As a matter of fact, he came to Gilgal. And Gilgal, we know in Scripture, reminds us of the place where the flesh, man in his first order, has been dealt with. The flesh has been removed so that what is of Christ comes into view. And there was a famine in the land. The sons of the prophets, they were sitting before him. He said to his servant, "Set on the great pot." Notice. He said to his servant, "Set on the great pot." But there came a response from one of the sons of the prophets. He went out and gathered in order to put in the pot. And it says he gathered wild gourds, colocynths, and shred it into the pot. In a day of famine, what we need are exercises by servants who are serving the interest of Christ to set on the pot. It is very easy for those of us unlearned and unwise at times to be very quick to do things without using spiritual judgment. And hence, those with among the sons of the prophets, one went and gathered wild gourds, shredded into the pot, and as a result, they came to the man of God and said, there's death in the pot. There's an abnormal condition. There is death. There is that which is damaging, that which is dangerous, that which will have an adverse impact upon the company. There's death in the pot. We're living in an atmosphere where death reigns. Thank God for the little companies here and there. With all of our abnormalities and difficulties, yet there is that we trust that is there for God, so that life might be maintained in its vitality and activity. But nevertheless, where there is death in the pot, there is a blessed answer. The man of God is the man of God who has a sense, he has his pulse on what is needed for the moment to counteract the adverse condition of death in the pot. What does the man of God bring in? Meal. Thank God we've been engaged this week, so I'm sure we will understand the great concept of the meal. We've been engaged with this blessed one who has been here on earth, the delight for the pleasure of the heart of God. Perfect man. The hymn writer says, how precious unto thee is thy beloved son. He brought glory to thee while here on earth. Thy work by him was done. The one who was well balanced, as we saw, the fine flour, the wheaten flour, the one who was here as a delight to his God and Father. The prophet says, bring him. Beloved, there is nothing, no one, that will meet the need in the present day in which we find ourselves, when abnormality exists and unusual conditions around us, conditions in the world, even conditions in the assembly, there is no other that meets the need than the one who is himself the meal offering. What a delight to his God and Father he was. And so the prophet says, bring him in. Well, where was the meal coming from? Is this something that had to be mustered up very quickly? You run to the field and get it? The meal was present. Ever present. So no wonder the prophet could refer to the fact that the essential commodity that's needed to counteract the death is to have the meal placed in the pot instantly. Oh, that we might ever be mindful of the precious value of this one, of whom, when the offerer brought his offering, all that was necessary was to take the handful. The handful was for God. He alone who could estimate the inestimable value of his well-beloved son. The handful delighted the heart of God. The oil and the frankincense and the beauty of the meal, God delighted to have. And then the priest had the balance, the value of it. The priests were fed by the remainder. Are we feasting on the remainder? Are we enjoying what God is enjoying? We've used the expression called to share the Father's pleasure in his well-beloved Son. That God the Father would have us as the many sons that are being brought to glory by the captain of salvation who's been made perfect through suffering, God would have us to rally around his beloved son and take up the enjoyment and delight that he is having in his blessed son. Bring meal. Then the last segment before us. There's a man who comes from a place called Baal Shalisha. And what is that man bringing? He's bringing bread of the first fruits. He's bringing barley. He's bringing fresh ears of corn in his sack. Very peculiar, isn't it? Didn't we just say there is a famine? If there is a famine, where is this man getting his food from? What was this man doing? When there was the son of the prophet who went out and gathered the wild colocynths and threw them in the pot and created a death scene, what was the man from Baal Shalisha doing? Undoubtedly, in the moment of famine, he was occupied with farming. He was engaged with what could produce something for the heart of God, something to satisfy the company. He was not sitting at home twiddling his thumbs and complaining about the atmosphere and the lack of things. He was engaged in producing what was available so that he has something for God and something for the people of God. He was farming. He brings wonderful things. First fruits. We've spoken of that this week. Christ, the first fruits, and we follow him as part of the wonderful harvest. The one who has come out of death in the power of an endless life, who now lives before his God and Father, and he's our high priest, the great high priest over the house of God. First fruits in resurrection. Paul, in defending the truth of resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, says, if Christ be not raised from the dead, then we are, as all men, most miserable. We thank God for the first fruits that have come out in victory and power over death, over hell, over the grave, resurrected life. And now we follow a resurrected Savior. The Apostle Paul to the Romans talks about now we live in the life of the one who has come out in resurrection power. We are sustained by him. First fruits. 20 loaves of barley. And then not only that, but what we have, fresh ears of corn, gives us again the two-sided line of teaching that we had this week. The wheaten flour and the barley. The barley, we said, is the resurrection ground, Christ in resurrection. The wheaten flour is Christ in exaltation. So here is a man who is connected with reality. He understands what represents Christ in resurrection power, but he also understands that he is a Christ who is glorified at the right hand of the Majesty on high. We have one in whose life we now live. We live where he is, at the right hand of the Majesty on high. When he said to Peter, if you do not allow me to wash your feet, you cannot have part with me. Not in me. Part with me. Part with me where? He has gone to the right hand of the Majesty on high. He's in the Father's presence. He sits on the throne of the Father. And he wants us to be there in the enjoyment of where he is. And so he says to Peter, Peter, I want you to have part with me there. That is his desire for us now, that we might have part with him where he is. Fresh ears of corn. You know we have the old corn of the land in Joshua 5, don't we? The old corn of the land in Joshua 5 represents that which had been harvested from the previous year. And so the children of Israel coming into the land made no provisions for themselves because God, Jehovah, had gone ahead and stored up the vastness of the crop from the previous year, so that as entering the land, there was what is amply provided to sustain his people. The old corn of the land, Christ glorified. But it's not the old corn of the land here. It says it's green, fresh corn, fresh ears of corn in his sack. He had just reaped. It's the freshness of Christ. Presently, he had just reaped his crop, and he was in the value of the freshness of what had just been gained. And he brings it, the delight to bring of Christ. And he brings it to the man of God. And he says, give to the people that they may eat. It is the Spirit's desire this evening that we have somewhat of the supply of the meal in the pot, the greatness and beauty of Christ in manhood. But it is also the desire of the Spirit of God this evening that we might have somewhat of the green ears of corn. Christ come out in resurrection, and now is in the value of an endless life in the presence of his God. There he lives forever. He is seated there in the highest place of glory, and the object of attraction now for you and me is that glorified man. If there is going to be anything that alters our disposition in this scene, from grumbling, from disgruntlement, and all of the difficulties, it's none other than the man in glory. God has given him to us as an object of attraction. He says, here is my well-beloved son. I draw your attention to him, that he might be the sum and substance and the filling of your heart. And then there is one who has a kind of a negative response. How shall I set this before 100? And the response is simply this: give the people to eat. Don't ask about how can I and how would I. Just give the people to eat. Give them of Christ. Let the heart be saturated and satisfied in him. It says, they shall eat and shall have to spare. The ample supply that comes from the man of Baal Shalisha, the heavenly man, We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. There is no limitation. There is no limitation. We will enjoy. We will wallow in it. We will delight our hearts in it presently. And we'll so do so eternally. Because eternally, God has no one else to satisfy our hearts than the man who has been here on earth for his delight and pleasure. May our hearts find delight in the one whom God the Father is delighting in until he calls us to be with himself, where when we are with him, we shall bask in the sunshine of his love. He will be the eternal center of glory. Whatever we will know of God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son, we will know it in a blessed man for all eternity. May our hearts be encouraged for his name's sake.